These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan possesses, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at your home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on door frames of your houses and on your gates.
So this is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 to 16. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
My name's Cam. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors here. And for those who are new, visiting, especially a big welcome to you. Today is a bit of a different service to normal. You might have picked that up already. Normally, our kids would be out by this point having a wonderful time in their programs. But every now and then, we love having our kids in with us. So a big welcome to you kids today. Thank you for joining us for the entire service. It's great to have your extra fun and energy with us throughout the day. And I hope as we cover time in the sermon now, as I'll be talking about God's word for a little bit. I'm hoping I'll be helpful to young and to old, and to help us all, I'll be keeping it a fair bit shorter than usual. But I want to start with a question for us all. What do you think is the most valuable thing in your house? What's the most precious thing in your house? Imagine there's a bushfire coming, there's a flood quickly rising, you need to leave the house, you need to get out of there in 2 minutes. You've got time to grab the pets, your family, and just one other thing. What are you grabbing? What's the one thing you grab? Kids, maybe it's your special toy or a collection of treasures you keep somewhere. Maybe you want to make sure you get your homework safely with you in the car. Maybe not. For adults, what are you grabbing? I know photo albums are the classic. Maybe the coffee machine needs to desperately make it into the car. Hard drives, jewelry. What is it you're grabbing on the way out? What do you grab? Now, as you think about that, here's another question. How many of you are thinking, I'd grab my Bible? Now, I don't reckon many of us thought straight away, I'm going to grab my Bible on the way out. And that's probably fair enough. Unlike many other things, like the Bible's pretty cheap. We can replace it pretty easily. You can't replace photo albums so easily. We don't think about the Bible sometimes as being precious or valuable because it's cheap. It's not expensive. You can go and buy one for 10 bucks. It's free online. But today, we're going to be thinking about how precious the Bible is, and we're reminded that just because something doesn't cost a lot of money, it doesn't mean it's not precious. In fact, God's words, which we have in the Bible, are, I would say, far more precious than gold, far more precious than jewels. So what we're talking about today is how precious God's word really is, and that there is nothing more precious in our lives than being able to read or hear what God says. See, the Bible is, I think, unlike any other book in the world. I'd say there's actually only two types of book in the world. There's only two types of books. One type is the Bible. Every other book is the other type. There's two types. What do you think of this? It's been said that the Bible is so much more precious than any other book that it would actually be better, if we had to, be better to lose every other book in the world than to lose a single page of the Bible. What do you think of that? It'd be better, if we had to lose every single book in the world than to lose one page of the Bible. That's how we're thinking about the Bible being precious. What do you think of that? A single page more precious and more valuable. Kids, did you know that all through history, in many parts of the world, it's been illegal to own the Bible, to read the Bible, and many, many people have risked their lives and even died just to try and get a Bible, to try and read it for themselves. Others have tried to smuggle Bibles in. There's all kinds of interesting stories about people smuggling Bibles into where they're illegal and helping people there have access to something so precious and so valuable. That's how precious God's word really is, that people risk their lives to get it. Now, when we're talking about the Bible, we're talking about God's words. And so the Bible is the main way that God has chosen to speak to us. Without the Bible, we wouldn't know what God is like. We would just be guessing, wouldn't we? Without the Bible, we wouldn't know what God's plans are for our world. We'd have no idea, really, what God's up to if he didn't tell us. Without the Bible, we'd have no idea that God loves us or how we can love him in return. We'd be just guessing. And so without the Bible, we simply wouldn't know the most important things there are to know in life. But the Bible's not just about crucial information. It certainly is about crucial information. But did you see, in one of the Bible readings we had a bit earlier, we heard this amazing description of God's word. This is in Hebrews 4. Come up on the screen here. The word of God is alive and active. It's alive and active. God's word is just like God. It's alive. It's living. And it's doing things. It's active. When you think about that, that is just amazing. It's a living and active word, which means as we're reading it or as we're listening to what God says, his word's doing things. It's doing things for us. It's doing things to us. So a few examples. God helps us. God helps us by his word. He comforts us when we're worried. He reassures us if we're anxious. He reminds us of things we might have forgotten about. God's word also challenges us and can make us realize, oh my goodness, my attitude is not right. I need to change it. The way I'm thinking about this is not right. Or perhaps what I'm doing in my life, it's just not what God wants me to do. He's not pleased. The Bible can really challenge us. And so just like we read earlier in Hebrews 4, God's word moves us. It moves us along. It's active in getting us to do to move. So it helps us move from realizing we've done wrong in God's eyes. It moves from there and moves us to seek Jesus. God's word has the precious news all through it that Jesus loves us, he died for us, and he gives us mercy and grace. And so when we hear his word, when we're reading God's word, we're actually moved towards Jesus to seek him and to find that grace and mercy we're promised. Now, sometimes, kids, you may have watched a book, so you may have watched a movie, you might have read a book. Don't think many of you have watched a book before. You've read a book, you've watched a movie, you've seen it before, you've read it before, you think, oh yeah, I know that. I don't need to read that again. I know how it finishes, I don't think I need to read it again. But it's so different with a Bible. Adults have find this all the time, that because it's alive, it's not a dead book, we keep coming back to it time and time again. It's living and active, and every time we read it, we are being moved, we're being changed by it. It's not a dead book that once we know it, we kind of move on. We need to keep hearing and feeling the constant comfort and reassurance that no matter what, we can find forgiveness and we can find acceptance in Jesus. Now, God's word is so precious to us because through it, God helps us really know him and to find great joy. And in fact, through God's word, he helps us find real life. We heard earlier from Deuteronomy chapter 6. In fact, if you have that open in your Bibles, I'll spend most of the rest of my time in Deuteronomy 6, which is on page 258, Deuteronomy 6. Before Deuteronomy 6, Moses has been giving Israel God's commandments, including the Ten Commandments. And now he's telling all of Israel to keep all these laws and commands and make them the most precious words of all. It's because by loving God and lovingly obeying him, Moses says here, there is great joy. There is abundance of life. Now, I don't always think about joy coming from being obedient. I always found as a kid that when my parents are stopping me from doing something and making me obey, it felt like I was being robbed of joy. But did you know what God made us for? Why did God make us at all? He made us to love him. That's why God made us. What that means is we are our most human, we are our most true self as we love God, as we love him more and more. We become more and more human as we love God. When we love God, we'll want to obey him and trust him when he says, my ways really are the best ways to find life, to find joy, to find comfort and peace. And so the commands God gives us, the words he gives, are helping us to love him. And there's actually nothing better for us than to love our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. That's everything we have. So to help us do that, God speaks by his word. When we listen, when we're reading the Bible, he helps us love him. He helps us be more human, which means God's words are the most precious things we can find. So, if God's word is so precious, if it's so valuable, how are we supposed to treat God's word? What are we supposed to do with it? Think about this, I suppose. If you were given the most beautiful, most expensive, most precious painting in the whole world, if it was given to you as a gift, what would you do with it? I reckon you'd look after it perfectly. Someone said burn it, I think. Maybe you would, but I reckon most of us would look after it perfectly. We wouldn't just chuck it in the shed and never look at it. We'd put it in the best place in our house. We'd make sure the lighting's just right. We'd dust it regularly, perhaps, get some good new lights to shine on it. We'd look at it regularly. It's beautiful. It's precious. It's wonderful. Now, how then should we treat the Bible? In that sort of way, I think, making it precious in all our lives. So for a start, here at church, do you know what the most important part of our time together is? We get here every week. We do lots of stuff, don't we? We do lots of things as we gather. What is the most important thing we do? Is it singing? Is it praying? Is it having a chat over coffee? Which, by the way, the coffee machine's working again. Praise the Lord. What is the most important time in our service together? All those things are critical to being a healthy church, but it seems to me the most important time in our service, here or in the kids' program, is when God's word is read. When we're just listening to God's word, I think, is the most precious part of our time together, just sitting under together the word of God. Everything else we then do comes from God's word. The sermon, the songs, our prayers, even our conversations are all based on and responding to what God has said in his word. God's word has to keep coming first in our life as a church. Because it's so precious, it has to be central to how we do everything as God's people. So that's at church. How about in our day-to-day lives? Did you see there in Deuteronomy 6, God tells Israel to have his commands not just in their heads, but on their hearts? To have his commands on their hearts. That's far more than just knowing what it says, isn't it? Having God's commands on our hearts means we know it so well, it's so deep in us that all our decisions, all our desires are kind of wrapped up with God's words, helping us make good decisions, have right desires. And the next bit in Deuteronomy verses 8 and 9, Israel are told to take God's words, to tie them on their arms and put them on their heads and have them on their doorposts. And actually, I've got a picture here. Many Jewish people actually do this. They put special little boxes and they put bits of scripture in those little boxes and put it on their heads. They're taking this very literally. They're taking it very seriously, which is fine. But the point for us seems to be make sure God's word is part of everyday life. You can't forget it if it's strapped to your head, I suppose, is kind of the point. Always trying to find ways, actually, is what we're trying to do. Always trying to find ways to treat God's word as precious. Kids learning memory verses like we do here, and we heard this morning. How special is that? Hearing memory verses that have gone into minds and are seeping into hearts. It's wonderful. Knowing the Bible by memory is such a special way of having God's word in our hearts, in our lives. Because when we memorize something, it's there with us, no matter what, all the time. I think as well as that, when we have something memorized, all our thoughts and our memories have God's words shaping them, actually, as they sort of bounce around in our minds. If it's in us, it shapes everything. It struck me this week, and as we were hearing our kids doing a memory verse, as an adult, when was the last time I learned a memory verse? When was the last time I did that? It's actually been a long time. I reckon I've got a bit lazy about memorizing God's word. And I reckon many adults can identify with this. We're not good at memorizing things anymore because we have Google in our pockets all the time. But what a shame, I reckon, I've been reflecting, because wouldn't it be better for my heart to not trust Google to tell me the answers, but to have it deeply embedded in my memory and my heart? Wouldn't that be a much better thing for me to memorize and to know Scripture deeply? So, adults, kids, why not, if you haven't been doing it for a while, why not get back in the habit of learning a memory verse each week? Maybe you've already got one this morning. You keep making sure through the rest of the week you remember from Mark we did earlier. We could pick something from Deuteronomy 6, maybe something families could do together. Especially for adults, this might be a bit of a stretch for kids, but especially for adults, if you've never before set yourself the challenge of reading the whole Bible, why not give it a shot? There's plenty of good ways you can go about doing that. Not ways of starting at the start and getting through. That can be a bit tricky. There are all sorts of good reading plans that can help you get through the Bible in a year or 2 years and actually give you a bit of variety as you read and some notes as you go. I've given you a link in your leaflet actually to one great reading plan as a great way to get through the Bible in 12 months. It doesn't have to be 12 months. You can start now, get a good head start on 2025. You would have noticed in Deuteronomy 6 that God also wants us to be talking about his word together. So we've seen parents with God's word, verse 7, impress them on your children. That is, talk about God's words when, he says, when you sit at home, that is, you're at the dinner table or at breakfast, talk about God's word, what you're learning about Jesus. When you're on the road, say you're in the car on the way somewhere as a family, chat about these things. For each family, this will look different. I know of one family who on a Sunday night have church and chocolate time as a way to kind of enjoy chocolate while they talk about what they've learned about God's word and what they've been impacted by at church that morning. That might not work for all families. For other families, I know many are like mine, where every night before bed, we read one of our kids' Bibles and then we pray. It works really well for the age and stage our family's at. One of our kids leaders actually has put together an excellent resource for families you can pick up on the way out this morning to kind of help with that sort of routine and to help us pray especially. They put together a prayer dice game, and there's not all framed actually. This is a nice one framed. But on the way out, families, you can pick up one of these. There's 6 things you can be praying about. You can roll the dice. When you get a 1, you can thank God for something. When you get a 6, you can praise God for something. It actually just gives our kids a way of learning and how to grow in their prayer lives together. That's a great thing for our families to be getting into. It's not always easy though, is it? It's not always easy to talk about God's word with each other. We're not always sure what questions we're supposed to ask, what things we're supposed to be talking about. We've already mentioned the way that kids leaders regularly post on our Slack channel. Slack is our communication app here. Most weeks after kids' church, the leaders suggest things that parents can be talking to their kids about coming out of kids' church. What a great resource. What a great conversation to have. For all of us, I also want to suggest 2 great questions we can always have on us as we're talking about and reading God's word. I've got them printed on your leaflet as well, because sometimes if you don't know what to talk about with each other, here's 2 great questions, no matter what you're reading in God's word. Question 1, what is beautiful or wonderful or moving to me in this part of the Bible? What's beautiful or wonderful or moving? Question 2, what's confronting, what's convicting, what's exposing for me in this part of the Bible? So if you're keen to keep growing in how you talk about God's words with each other, if you want to make it more and more precious to your lives and your conversation, I think these 2 questions can help a fair bit as great tools we can kind of just learn to use. All right, well today I hope we've heard about how precious God's living and active word is. I hope you've all been encouraged to treat it as precious in our lives, in our church, and to keep talking about God's word, sharing it with one another. You may all come up with all sorts of ways, excellent ways, to have it really on our hearts and in our lives, shaping all we do. But for now, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. Thank you so much that we can easily find a Bible that's been wonderfully translated. It's easy and cheap to buy. But help us to never think of your words as cheap, but to keep seeing them as the most precious things on this earth. And so please help us have your words dwell richly in our hearts, in our lives. And please help us talk about your word with each other, shaping us to be more and more like your son, Jesus. Amen.